Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And we are talking about, well, I mean, I love this movie. It's like, I don't know that a lot of, I mean, it's not one that I always hear a lot of people talk about, but I know within our group, it's a huge movie.
That's fair.
We're talking about the movie Hitch.
Hitch is a 2005 film, which stars Will Smith, Ava Mendez, Kevin James, and Amber Valletta. It was directed by Andy Tennant, who we've talked about several times already, because he directed Sweet Home Alabama, Fools Rush In, mm-hmm. It Takes Two.
Oh my God.
As well as Fool's Gold and Ever After. It was written by Kevin Bursch, who has done nothing else. He has three other things on IMDb, and they're all in development.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, that's a thing.
Yeah.
That explains some things. But the IMDb score is 6.6 out of 10 and has a 68% on Rotten Tomato.
Mm-hmm. I remember, oh my goodness. I know, because there was a group of like four of us who went, this came out in 2005. Do you mm-hmm. remember when it came out in 2005?
It doesn't always say on IMDb.
It's not really important, but I was just trying to remember like what time of year it was. Because I know like, we tended to not go to movies as much when we had classes and stuff going on. It had to be like a Harry Potter or a
February 11th.
Okay. So it was probably like a weekend thing then, but our friend Anne and I went to see it with a couple of other people. I think it was Reed and somebody else. I can never remember who the other person on the other side was. Oh man. I remember like we just had like a great time. There was so much comparison between Albert's dancing and our friend Jared.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, Albert's, you know, the whole, like, the Q-tip and the all these things.
I have a story about that once we get to it, too.
Yeah. It's like our friend Jared, he had some very, very creative dances.
Yep.
Most famous among them, the televangelist.
Yep.
So... So it was, like, literally, like, when we were watching this movie, Anne and I just kind of looked at each other and went... Jared. And like,
yeah.
As soon as we saw him, we were like, hey, this movie, you need to see it because you're in it. So, but oh man, it's a good one. If you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. the very brief synopsis is smooth and sexy Hitch helps clients make a great first impression, but he's thrown when a lovely reporter starts nosing around his business.
And he is very smooth and sexy because I love Will Smith.
It's like, it's Will Smith.
I have loved Will Smith since I was a young girl watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah.
I love him forever. Like, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then when you read the trivia, the fact that he basically said Kevin James would be great for the show.
Yeah, because he loves King of Queens.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kevin James and he are my favorite thing in this movie.
Yes.
Like, I mean, no disrespect to Ava Mendez. See, I'm not a huge Ava Mendez fan.
This is probably about the only thing that I've ever really seen her in.
I've seen her in other stuff, and the other two are just so vibrant that it dwarfs her sometimes.
For me, like, I really like her character, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the chemistry that she has with Will Smith. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's great. For me, I'm like, Allegra just feels really washed out to me.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really much going on with her.
We don't get a lot of backstory out with her.
We really don't. Like, I get it, and I see why, but, like, the fact that this movie is as long as it is, at one point in my notes, I have, like, I paused it to, like, jot something down, and I looked at the count, and I was like, how is there still an hour left of this movie? I don't know. It's like there, some things could go. I don't know what, but it's, mm-hmm.
Well, see, and the other person I did not mention in the starring is Adam Arkin.
I was going to get to him. I have loved him, but like, I also like really love his dad, Alan Arkin. Like, well, just because The Last Unicorn is like my favorite movie of all time, and he's Schmendrick the Magician. And so, and then, you know, growing up seeing Adam Arkin and things, it just...
Chicago Hope, man. That's what I always think of.
Chicago Hope. Man, we need to find that. Like, this is probably like the third or fourth time we have referenced Chicago Hope.
I don't remember enough about Chicago Hope, except for that it was on the same time as ER on a different network, but they were both set in Chicago, and it was both set in a hospital. It was just a whole, like...
I don't think it came on at the same time as ER. Not at the beginning.
Same year, I think. Like, same time period. I didn't mean, like...
Yeah.
I didn't mean, like, they were against each other. Well, because I remember,
my family, we watched them both.
Yeah, we did, too. I meant more, like, same time period, as in, like the same season or two.
Yeah.
They came out, close together.
They had a very different focus.
Yes, they did. It's true.
Very much of a different focus.
But it did not last as long as ER, for sure.
As soon as we get done recording, I'm absolutely going to look it up on Amazon and see if I can find seasons of this. They're probably going to be, like, either non-existent or, you know...
Hundreds of dollars.
Like hundreds of dollars. I don't know, like some parts of this fell flat, and mm-hmm. for this movie feels like refreshing for the time in which it was made, but there are definitely things that watching it now through the 2020 lens that I'm a little like, eh. I tell you what, I don't know, maybe I should save this for the ends, like when we continue discussing, but I've been thinking about it since I watched this movie the other night, that like, I would love to see a reboot of this movie, but like, instead of the whole like heteronormative, like he only hooks up men with women, I'm like, like let's have all like... the genders and sexualities in there, like, please, like, I just want...
Yeah, like, you can work with women, for sure.
I was like, I want...
yeah.
It's like, that's what I want.
Well, and then there was another movie, and I want to say it's David Boreanaz that stars in it. It's called, like, Mr. Fix-It or something like that.
It's called Mr. Fix-It. I do not remember who's in it.
I may look it up, because I remember trying to watch that movie, and it's awful.
It's a very similar premise.
Except for that he breaks people up. It is David Boreanaz.
Okay.
A man who tricks women into returning to their ex-boyfriends, that's what it is, soon finds himself falling for one of his marks.
Ew!
Yeah. He's in it. It came out in 2006, so a year.
Ew.
Yeah, it's so gross. Like, don't watch that one. Don't get them confused. And I love David, but no.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it, and he's, in the first 10 minutes, I was done. Which is so sad, but...
Yeah. That's just some... That's some, like, skeezic stuff.
Yeah, can't do it.
Like, right there.
And that's the other thing, is, like, what Hitch does, is it... I mean, it's manipulative to an extent.
I think that's why I rankled on it like this time, is that I don't appreciate the manipulation angle as much as I didn't mind it back then.
I think to an extent it is, but it's also just getting their foot in the door, if that makes sense, like getting them noticed. Mm-hmm. Because the reasons that the people fall in love are not necessarily the things he did to get them in the door. It's just, hey, I went out with this person. Like, he gives them he's more of a life coach. Like,
a little bit, yeah.
Really, especially with the first three we see
mm-hmm.
in the montage, his voiceover at the beginning, those three just needed, one needed an in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other just needed confidence. Like, they just needed to have that, like, someone tell them, hey, go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, don't be a douche and listen to your date. They needed, like, just those basic, like, hey, this is how you should behave. And if you really love this person, then that's how you should behave. Like,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really love the person yet because you haven't really been on a date with them. But you really like the person.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's how it works. And I like aspects of that, like the beginning. And then he said, I don't love some of his voiceover at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Like, when a girl says things, he goes, she could be meaning, no, get away.
Uh-huh.
Or she could be meaning, try harder. Or she could actually be into her career. Like, I'm just going to throw it out there. She could actually not want anybody right now. That's a real thing. Now, I see what he's saying when he says no matter what, no matter when, no matter who, any man has just to any woman off her feet. I would change that to any person.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think there is some truth to that. Not all truth, but some truth, if that makes sense. Like, there is that, like, especially in 2005, there was a lot of that, like, people were talking about people closing themselves off, and, like, and what he's trying to do is say, hey, maybe talk to people as a guy. Like, yeah. Don't be nervous to talk to the hot girl, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, like, that...
I think for me, it's, like, because when we meet Vance later... Vance is, like, super icky. And I think, like, again, and I'm coming at this from a 2020 perspective.
Yeah.
Of the fact that, like, I am on social media off and on all day, and most of the people that I come across are Vances. And exactly. So there is a sense of entitlement of, like, well, I deserve to be with this woman because, well, I'm great. Mm-hmm. And if she turns me down, then I'm not going to take no for an answer.
See, that's why I love Albert.
Yes. Like, Albert is a good guy. Albert really is. But yeah, I think that I'm just, like, watching this and I'm like, yeah, there are good guys, yes, but, like, I just see this being something that more men would use for evil.
That's why we have to have Vance in the movie, so we can see Hitch will literally, like, walk away from a massive paycheck, because that's not why he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And he even admits, sort of by the end, that the reasons he, like, the way he does it isn't necessarily the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he talks to Allegra at the end of the movie and realizes all of the things he told Albert not to do are the reason she fell for Albert.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this light bulb for him.
Yeah.
And so, like, even though, like, he is a little bit manipulative at the beginning, I think that's sort of the whole point, is that he has to go away from that by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. I will... Going into it, like, I was worried that the movie wouldn't hold up.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely held up a lot better than I thought it would. There are just, like I said, there are a few things here and there that I'm just like, okay.
But yeah, so
if you want to kick us off,
But so the opening montage, like I said, is just him giving a voiceover about women and how men can be too nervous, essentially, to talk to a woman. And that kind of stuff.
It's basically like he's kind of arranging meet cutes for people.
Yeah, he arranges some meet cutes. Like he helps us. He has this woman's dog get rescued. Like the dog was never in danger, which I also appreciate. He immediately picks the dog up and hands it off, and like it looks like the comic book store guy from Big Bang Theory rescues the dog. I
never remember his name,
but he rescues the little dog, and then you've got all these three different little meet cutes that he's working through. One's like a firefighter, one's not like a hot, sexy firefighter, but just like a dude.
Basically like a Wallace Shawn stand-in, but yeah.
Yeah, a little bit Wallace Shawn in looks. And the other guy, I know that other guy, and I cannot place him.
I looked him up on IMDb because I kept thinking, I was like, he's familiar. The only person that I recognize, because the firefighter guy, I know him too.
He's a character actor.
He's a character actor from way back. And then, of course, the actor who plays
on The Big Bang Theory.
And then the redhead woman that the fireman ends up with, she's Jean Monroe in like one episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I remember watching that episode with her in it. I'm like, why in the hell do I know this woman? And I took IMDb and I'm like, yeah, okay, she's been in some stuff I've seen. But then literally when I started watching this movie the other night and she pops up in the opening, I was just like, oh, Jean Monroe. She's the Vulture's fiance.
Oh yeah. But so yeah, he gets you in the door. After that, it's up to you. He does three dates.
Mm-hmm.
He helps you get three dates, and then it's up to you. If the relationship doesn't last, that's kind of not on him.
He basically Sherpas you up to the first kiss.
Yeah, and then he's like, now it's on you. Like, you can do this. It is, I've gotten them to pay attention to you, essentially.
My job is to open her eyes.
Yeah. So then we meet Sarah Milas. She's a gossip reporter focused on her career. She actually is focused on her career. She was on vacation and sees Allegra Cole's boyfriend, who in the one cameo picture is Alexander Skarsgård. Yes,
I laughed so
hard.
He's
the Prince of Sweden. And she sees him cheating on a beach, so she immediately pulls out the camera, gets it taken care of, because she's a gossip reporter. And she comes back from her vacation 4 days early. Mm-hmm. And I love her boss is giving her that, that like reaming out, like, you know, I didn't want to see you for 4 days. This is how you get the pictures of Sebi, I think so they call him, cheating on Allegra Cole. A giant raise. Like, and her boss is great throughout the whole thing. Like he's just so good.
I cannot express my love of Adam Arkin, like, deeply enough. Like, it is all encompassing. I love that man.
And then we see her and Hitch, Sarah and Hitch, both at a bar, at the same bar. Mm-hmm. She's there with her friend Casey, I believe is her name.
Yes, Casey.
And he's there with, you find out later, his brother-in-law. You don't know that until almost the middle of the movie.
I remembered it being his brother-in-law, but, like, during that scene, I was like,
it just seemed like his buddy.
There's no indication. And so yeah. I was like,
which
I just
they were college roommates.
Yeah. So he, his like, best I just kept thinking, sister, I was yeah. like, did I misremember this? Am I wrong? And then you get the reveal later. And it's yeah. like, oh, okay. I'm not going out of my
yeah,
head.
And
okay.
It's like an aside thing. Like it doesn't yeah. really, but yeah, his, you know, he's out with his friend shooting pool and we see he's got game with the ladies. Like, I do love his mm-hmm. friend is like his brother-in-law is like, no, don't bring those girls over here. No, I gotta go home. Yeah. So you don't want to have a conversation with a girl because you can't sleep with her. Like, he's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, so I appreciate that. Like, he's like, really, man? Like, you can still have a conversation with people. It's okay. But yeah, so then he pulls some moves on a girl to get her attention and it works. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, over in the corner, you have Casey and Sarah
yeah.
talking about Casey met a guy. We found out later it's Vance the douchebag.
Yeah.
And Sarah warns her immediately, he's not a good guy. Like, he yeah. was buying lingerie for another woman while meeting you. She goes, no, Jam is for his mother. No.
At La Perla?
No. It was not. And, you know, so you get like that. And then she's like, do you think this urban, her friend Casey, do you think this urban myth of the date doctor is real? And she goes, no, just urban myth. It's yeah. not real at all.
Which.
And that you find out later is kind of what Hitch is an urban myth.
Yeah, basically. Kind of, you know, like this whole thing, like with Casey and Sarah, mm-hmm. it's they're kind of diametrically opposed yeah. in that Casey is like very open and like she wants to find somebody and you know, like this is what she wants. So like she wants to find that person where
she believes in love.
She believes in love and like she's ready to find her penguin.
Wow. Yes, she's yes.
Whereas Sarah, it's, you know, we find out, you know, Sarah, quote, has no time for a boyfriend, and she believes that relationships are for people who are just waiting for something better to come along. Yeah. So she, it's been, I think they mentioned, like, it's been, like, 2 years, like, she's really been on a date with somebody.
Yeah.
So.
They do mention that.
Yeah, actually. So it's.
I was looking. Nathan Lee Graham is also in this movie. He plays Jeff. He also was in Sweet Home Alabama as the sassy gay friend.
Yes. Sorry, I wasn't recognizing the name.
I just thought that was funny. So I was yeah, yeah. that while I was thinking about it. Because he's the one who's calling her on all that. He goes, girl, you've been saying that for 2 years. You need yeah. to get yourself together, mm-hmm. basically. But yeah, so Sarah ends up going home. And then Hitch is kind of giving his backstory after that. Like, mm-hmm. he gives his backstory. He was a nerd in college. Mm-hmm. Like, he was... Man, also seeing him like that, I flashed a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air immediately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he's a nerd who meets this girl, and her name's Cressida, I think it
Cressida,
is.
Cressida, yeah.
And he immediately, like, falls head over heels for her. Like, it's just, like, the heart music starts playing when he sees her. And, like, you see, like, a scene of them kissing, and he's, like, Ted Mosby-ing hard.
Oh, yeah. He Mosby's it up all over the place.
Yeah. He tells her he loves her, and she's like, I love you, too. Go back to smooching.
Yeah. He's like, no, it's like, I know you don't love me as much as I love you, but, like, that's totally okay. And she's like, okay.
Just keep kissing. And then you see that she cheated on him.
Yeah,
because he's sitting outside the window, like, he sees her making out a car with somebody else in the rain, and he's just banging on the window, like, what did I do wrong?
He's like, you're doing it right now.
Yeah, and the other guy's like, you're doing it right now. And so that was his lesson, if you will, yeah. Hitch's lesson on love. And so he himself doesn't want to put himself back out in that situation.
Yeah.
But he's more than willing to help guys who need the help.
Who needs a little push, yeah.
A little push, a little boost to know not to be too clingy, what's too clingy, what's not, that kind of thing. Because there are date doctors nowadays, too,
yeah.
who would do what Vance would want. Like,
yeah.
They're pickup artists. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
There used to be a show, I think it was VH1.
Oh, something like that.
Where they taught guys how to pick up girls. And I was sick. I was like, this is the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
I hate it. But so Hitch doesn't do that. He kind of does the opposite of that. He teaches, because he immediately tells them, be yourself
mm-hmm.
when you're doing this. Like, if you're shy, be shy. You know, if you're this, be this. Don't try to hide who you are. They mm-hmm. want the truth. They may not want it all at once. Like, don't go in and go, I live with my mom in her basement and have 47 cats. You know, you want to say, I live in a house. Like, it's all true. It's just in how long it takes you to present the full truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get his backstory, like I said, and then and he says the quote, with no guile and no game, there's no girl, and there was no one with less game than Albert Brenneman, and that's when we meet Kevin James.
Yeah.
I love Albert Brenneman. He is the sweetest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately, like, he is a lot of what Kevin James does in this part, and it's such a different role with yes. Kevin James. Because I've watched, my family really likes, like, The Zookeeper, I think my mom really liked. So like that, I'm not a huge Kevin James fan in general.
Yeah. Like, I've seen part of one of the Grown Ups movies.
My sister really liked them,
and so I've seen, like, a nanosecond of Paul Blart Mall Cop. Paul Blart Mall Cop. I got tongue tied.
That's
literally just because the McElroys started a annual podcast called Till Death Do Us Blart.
Oh,
where
yeah.
it will go on ad infinitum, like until the end of time, because they have picked people to carry on the podcast in the event of their deaths. Like rewatching Mall Cop 2.
But yeah, and I've always thought Kevin James could, I mean, because we've talked about this before, comedians can do a lot of different things. They just don't generally get the opportunity.
Yeah.
And Kevin James has had, I mean, he did King of Queens and everybody kind of expected that same type of comedy. And then he kind of, in a weird way, joined in with the Adam Sandler stuff because there was no Chris Farley. And so he became the funny big guy.
Yeah.
And so he kind of became that role, and that's kind of where he's stayed, if you will. And now he's got like, he had like a show on for a little bit back again with,
yeah, it's,
but I, this movie, the way he acts is very good.
The
comedy is pretty good, is pretty there.
This is going to sound really harsh, but I think you'll know like what I mean and not mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that I think the reason, like, cause I watched a few episodes of King of Queens
mm-hmm.
and
I used to watch it.
And so there's like, Hitch was probably like really the thing that I really saw him in before any of that other stuff, because he's so good in this and the rest of that stuff just feels so lazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and the thing with King of Queens, not to like beat a dead horse, but the thing with King of Queens is it was very much in that same genre of television at the time when you had the lazy man with the hot wife.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was. Because there was another show called Still Standing, which I actually liked better. It didn't last very long, but it starred...
Oh
my God.
Oh, I know what show you're talking about.
The king from freaking Game of Thrones. I can see him. Roland on A Knight's Tale.
Mark Addy.
Thank you. It starred Mark Addy as the dad, and I enjoyed the crap out of that show.
Yeah.
Because it was different, very different, in that basically he knocked up his girlfriend in high school, and so they had to get married,
mm-hmm.
and they have raised three kids now, and their oldest boy is a genius. They are not. They are,
right.
They are blue collar of blue collar, and so it's them dealing with their kids, mm-hmm. but they're also still... They never grew up because they were teenagers when they got married.
And
I always enjoyed that one a lot more than King of Queens.
And for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of it now, but like Donald Logue had a similar show where he and his wife, like, they got married because she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just this whole, like, and, you know, they're like an Irish Catholic family and shenanigans. but, you know, it was kind of a similar premise of, you know, kind of slightly, he wasn't as much as, like, you know, Kevin James's character, but, like, yeah, you know, that slightly, like, schlubby guy with, yeah, like, the really hot wife. And it was just...
whoever played Mark Addy's wife, and I can't remember who it is now, it wasn't like having Leah,
yeah,
and him, that they looked like they could belong together. Like, yeah, they looked like they were a middle-aged couple. But yeah, I for some reason I enjoyed that show a lot more. But yeah, there was a lot of shows that kept trying to do that dynamic.
It was the sort of, like, copy-paste idea of the, you know, of the kind of, like, late 90s and into the early 2000s. Yeah,
like, Roseanne, Married with Children. Like, they kind of took those ideas and were like, let's do it this way. And they kept trying to, yeah, do it that way. And it just never,
it was just
never,
like,
interested me, but it always did very well.
It was literally like, okay, you know, schlubby husband, hot wife, you know, in the jungle. You know, it was literally just like, we're going to copy paste. It's the same scenario. We're just, but, like, it's like an improv sketch. Like, yeah, we're just going to change the setting.
The thing King Queens did have going for it, though, is it had, what is his name? Stiller. Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller, yeah.
That it did have going for it, because Jerry Stiller was very funny in that. But yeah, like, so seeing him in King of Queens, it was a very different, like, I don't know, by the time King of Queens was over, it ran for, like, what, 7 or 8 seasons?
Too long.
So I mean, he was, that would have been a comfortable, like,
yeah, place. So
he's doing this, and it's a very different, like, he's a intelligent man, he's an accountant.
Yeah, there's some depth to this character.
And he's a klutz, a giant klutz, yeah, which is hilarious. Like, and normally I don't find that kind of stuff funny, but the way it works in this, like, I did roll my eyes the first one, but the rest of them I didn't.
Yeah, the it's an awkward setup, but honestly, it's like a lot of the stuff that he does, it's not that much different from, like, the reasons that I love Miranda Hart, yeah, and the stuff that she does.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's...
it feels real. Like, it's, yeah, a very grounded performance, which is so weird to say about a comedian like him in this.
Yeah.
Like, his comedic performance is very grounded. It feels very real. Because he makes, like, a mess, and then he just scoots over.
Yeah.
And Hitch is watching all of this and comes over and sits down behind him, and he's, yeah, like, so how long have you known her? Like, what? Like, tell me about her. Because that's his kind of test question.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk for a minute, and he finally puts together that Flippin' Albert is in love with Allegra Cole, or at least, yeah, interested in Allegra Cole. And he's like, wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, out of his league from anyone's perspective.
Yeah, and if you haven't, like, Allegra Cole, it's like, she's basically just, like, a rich, yeah, heiress. Like, she's the... good Lord, even this reference is going to be dated. Like, she's the kind of, like, Paris Hilton kind
of... She's a Kardashian.
Yeah. Okay.
She's not... I mean, money of the Kardashians.
Yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah. It's like, she's... Yeah. It's like, not the kind of, like, vapid, like, you know, lip gloss line.
Yeah, no. She's an heiress, but she is very... Like, you get that she is a woman that could be of substance if anyone would allow her to be.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But yeah, so he has a thing for Allegra.
Yeah. It's more like she's an heiress, but in that kind of, like, socialite kind of way, yeah, and not so much.
I mean, she's very,
yeah,
wealthy.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing, is he's the junior man on her account.
Yeah, her account.
And
yeah,
I do love the moment where Hitch goes, does she even know you exist? And he's like, I gave her a pen once. And you see the flashback, and he basically dove over everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, pushed her chair up into the table to give her
a pen. And there are 9 other men.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Like, all trying to hand her a pen, and she took his.
But then, like... You know, Albert's very uncomfortable with this whole thing anyway, so he's like, never mind, just forget it. I think this is where he said it, I didn't get it written down, where he says, the feeling, the love of your life is waking up with the wrong man,
yeah,
every morning. And he goes, but that's okay, because you just want her to be happy.
Yeah.
You don't want to be with the wrong guy, but you just want her to find happiness, even if it's not with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Hitch goes, okay, yes, that is the right answer, sir. My name's Alex Hitchens.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard of Michelangelo and Sistine Chapel? I'm Michelangelo.
You're my Sistine Chapel.
Let's go paint that ceiling. And so off they go to make Albert's palatable.
Mm-hmm. Since we've been having this conversation, I was just thinking, and, like, kind of relating to what we were just talking about with Kevin James, I honestly don't know that anybody else could have been the could have played Hitch like Will Smith does, because mm-hmm. Will Smith has this effortless, like, cool.
Well, like, the thing is that we're talking about, like, where he feels manipulative, because it's Will Smith, it doesn't. I know that sounds so weird.
No,
but he brings this smoothness to it.
He does. And, like, he has this, it's like what he does is so effortless. Like, you don't see the wizard behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, he just presents something to you. And like I said, it is so effortless and it is so good. It's like he kind of just elevates everybody else in this movie with his presence.
That's fair.
It's like he does such good work that everybody else's work is good too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, like, sorry. I thought of that.
But yeah, so they go off to begin getting him ready.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's at a bar that night, and he saves Sarah mm-hmm. from a suitor. He was going over to try to pick her up himself, but he was going about it the right way. He had her drink. The other guy did the right drink. Yeah, the guy that's trying to pick her up brings an apple teenie,
and she was drinking a Grey Goose martini.
Yeah, and so he's trying to hit on her, and she very clearly shuts him down. She goes, you know, I appreciate the courage it takes to come across the room and try to make something out of nothing, but I'm just not interested. Have a good night. And the guy keeps talking, and she's like, not interested. And the guy keeps talking. She goes, no, this isn't me saying try harder. This is me saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Hitch is like, you know what, this fool, I'm going to take. And so he's like, honey, hi. And he's like,
I love it. He's like, how was that meeting? And she's like, well, there was a beginning, a middle, and an end. And like very pointedly looks at this man, Chip. Who the fuck is named Chip?
His name was probably Charles, and he went by Chip. Because he said, they call me Chip. And she goes, what, you can't get him to stop? Which is another really great, like, line.
But yeah, it's just like, but, you know, he kind of, like, steps in and, like, gets
rid of her. And they
gets rid of Chip.
They have this really fun conversation where he essentially, like, he's reading her and he's letting her know he's reading her out loud. And mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, but
they're kind of sizing each other up but in a flirtatious way.
Yeah. And he ends up saying, you know, he might be just like all these guys, or he might sit here and ask you what you do for a living. And she's like, Sarah Milis, and I'm the gossip reporter for the Tribune. And she goes, I didn't ask all these wonderful pointed questions mm-hmm. because he's sincerely, if atypically, interested. Oh, no, he'd be interested. But it's obvious, like, basically, it's obvious that you aren't. So he leaves her wanting more because mm-hmm. he gets her fascinated with him. And then he has a drink delivered mm-hmm. with him not there to enjoy it, like, with her. He gives it to her and just walks out. And so then later he can try it because now he knows where she works and he knows her name. But yeah, so he leaves and Casey comes in and sits down and she's just, but Sarah is like leaning, watching him walk away because she's fascinated now. He hooked her.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got to see, or she doesn't know. She's like, well, he's gone now. But the fact that he did just walk away was very, mm-hmm. like, she didn't expect that. And so it worked for her, which is what he kind of thought would happen probably. But that's the smoothest he ever is with her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that first interaction?
Yeah,
I said Will Smith is such a charisma bard. Anyway,
yes. So
then he meets with Vance, who is played by Jeffrey Donovan.
Yeah,
I like Jeffrey Donovan as an actor. Let me say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing I ever saw him in was The Pretender, where he plays Jared's brother, who's a serial killer. And literally he has notebooks full of the phrase, I decide who lives and dies.
Yeah.
So that is my first thought every time I see him. So I'm already like on edge when I see him. And then I was never a huge Burn Notice fan.
Josh liked it
for the most part, but I was never a big fan.
Because the thing that always got me is like, about that show is like he was playing a character named Michael Weston, and there actually is an actor named Michael Weston who they then brought on as a guest on the show.
Yeah.
It, like, I watched like little bits and pieces of it, but I don't know, just for whatever reason, I could not get into it. It just wasn't.
But this was
what I was after. I think he's a very good character actor.
Oh, yeah. But he has that face that you kind of want to punch a little bit.
Fuck yeah.
And as he's talking, Hitch is like, okay, he doesn't introduce himself, which I appreciate. He doesn't introduce himself until they're actually his client.
Yeah.
So he says, tell me about the girl. And so, you know, Vance goes into this whole spiel about who we know is Casey because we've been seeing both sides. And He goes, I was buying pajamas for my mom. And by that, you mean lingerie for another woman. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not seeing her anymore. And this woman is just in my head. And so I think I just need to bang her, hit it, and get out of there.
Yeah.
And Will's like, whoa, whoa, or Hitch, rather. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's, I think you have the wrong idea. It's not like, what I do.
Yeah. I love that during this conversation where he's like, no, like, you got the wrong idea. He's like, my clients actually like women.
Yeah. And so immediately Vance pulls out his checkbook. He's like, you don't understand. People whine, beg, whatever, but they do what I say. And he, eventually they do what I want. And he grabbed Will Smith's arm, Hitch's arm, because Hitch is leaving.
Yeah.
And he just, he takes him and just.
He put, yeah, he basically like put, yeah.
He puts twists him in the a arm hold, back yeah. And puts his face down the table. And he goes, and he gives him the whole spiel. And he's like, you literally, if you touch me again, I will literally cut your shit off.
Okay, pumpkin.
Okay, pumpkin. And wait. He walks away.
Oh my God.
Because he's like, no, you don't. No, that's not how
I lost
work.
Count of like how many times over the past 15 years Anne and I have just gone, okay, pumpkin.
Yeah.
Because of this.
But I love that part. So he was never going to work with Vance. Vance is mad about it and pitches a fit. But
because Vance is like an entitled douche nozzle.
Exactly. Which is not what Hitch is in the market to help.
No.
So Hitch walks out of the place, but it's important for later that he met Vance. Also, it's important for us as the viewer to know he doesn't just date Dr. anybody. He actually goes and meets people.
He has standards and requirements.
Honestly, if it were today, he probably would have vetted him in such a manner he never would have met with Vance.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Facebook and Twitter were not a thing then. Exactly. Like, you didn't have, everybody didn't have a social media account that you could Google.
So then he sends the walkie-talkie to Sarah. So don't you hate when a guy calls you?
Via messenger, yeah.
Yeah, don't you hate when a guy calls you and you didn't give him your number? Oh, yes, this is much less invasive. And they have a whole thing. He eventually talks her into going out with him on Sunday morning because she says no to Friday, no to Saturday. She's like, just breakfast on Sunday. And you do that with out-of-town relatives.
It's like, you couldn't really even call that a date.
Just give me a chance kind of thing. And so finally her friends are all around her at the office urging her, like, yeah, go for it. And so she finally gives in, and the guy pulls out a package. She goes, what if I said Friday night? You said Sunday. Here you go.
Yeah.
And the messenger walks out, and it's a scuba suit. And,
it's not a scuba suit.
Not a scuba suit. It's a wetsuit.
It's a wetsuit, yeah.
And they're taking sea-doos over to Ellis Island, mm-hmm. and the date goes...
It starts going downhill.
And so, because like he runs out of gas, his jet ski breaks down.
Yeah,
and so he climbs. He goes, "I want to surprise you, so I'm going to climb under the front and drive." Why? You don't think I can drive? Well, no, I just want to be surprised. And he kicks her in the head and basically knocks her out for a second as he's climbing aboard the hers, and she's got a big old bruise on her head. And then they take her into Ellis Island, and they're having this really great moment. And she looks down, and he showed, he got the guy who works on Ellis Island to turn it to the page where Juan Milas' name is.
Her great-grandmother.
And she starts to cry and then do this really weird, like, scream.
Yeah.
And then she takes off running, and he goes, I saw that going differently in my head. Turns out her great-grandfather was the butcher of Cadiz.
Yeah, I've got that quote on here, like, because that comes up later.
Yeah.
Like, it basically kind of cuts to... It cuts to them like walking back, and she's explaining. She's like, blah blah blah. It's like, and my great grandma, like, she never saw him again. Well, except on the wanted posters.
Yeah.
And his response, like, it said Butcher of Cadiz. I thought it was a profession, not a headline.
Yeah. And so this date has not gone well. So she's eating with her friend Casey after.
Well, hold on.
Oh yeah.
He puts her in the cab. And his shirt gets caught when he closes the door, and so like it rips his shirt off of him.
Like he's got like an overshirt.
Yeah.
And so
he's got a button up on over a t-shirt.
You just watch his head fall. He's like, taxi.
Yep.
And
just,
so
like it's just this resigned kind of sigh.
And so she's having dinner with her friend, and she's they're talking about it, and her friend's like, well, at least you got a good story out of it. And she doesn't say anything. She goes, you're not gonna see him again. And she's like, but. You always say that I want guys to fail, and this guy failed, but he did it with flair.
Yeah.
So she wants to see him again. So once again, it's not the things that he thought would win her over.
Yeah.
It's the fact that he did it with style, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, he tanked hard.
Yes.
But,
so then we get Albert taking calling Allegra. We get like the phone call first.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's some comedy gold.
Yeah.
It's some good back and forth. But then we have, Albert and Allegra at a fashion event.
Yeah. That Hitch got him tickets to. Because the whole thing, we didn't cover it. The whole reason Albert ever got her attention, finally, is he stood up in a meeting because she said she wanted to invest in her friend Maggie. Maggie's company. Or in fashion designs. And they were like, we'll get put a list of things that you'll be better off investing in. They won't listen to her. And so Albert stands up and goes, this is ridiculous. It's your money, Miss Cole. You're our boss.
We're your advisors.
You tell us where you want your money to go. If you want to put $500,000 into your friend's thing, then do it. Like, be an adult and do it.
Yeah.
And he quits his job and walks out of the room.
Yeah.
And panics. And there's a great comedy bit where Will Smith is like tackling him. Will and Kevin are really going in this.
It is such a tiny little moment, but there's like nothing funnier to me than when she's looking for a pen.
Yes.
And Albert is just standing there dumbfounded, and you just see Hitch's hand like come into frame and like put a pen into Albert's like jacket pocket, and then he just kind of snaps out of it and grabs the pen and hands it to her.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is like 15 seconds of just like silent kind of action, and it is the funniest fucking thing in this movie to me.
Yeah, because like he immediately panics, and like Hitch is like, no, we can recover from this.
Like, just give it a minute.
Just give it a minute. Let it breathe. And she shows up at the door and asks, can we meet sometime to go over financial stuff? Yeah. Like, to see where I could afford to take risks and da da da. So and that's when the pin thing happens, which I did write down that I love.
It's so funny.
But yeah, so then, Hitch gets them tickets to this fashion thing because Maggie is interested in fashion.
Yeah.
So Hitch tells him, make it about Maggie.
Yes. Because you have to get the best friend's approval.
Yeah. And he does. But he thought Maggie was a girl and Maggie is Magnus.
Yes.
And we only see Magnus this one time in the movie, which is a crime. I would love to see more of this guy. Oh,
absolutely.
I wish we'd gotten more with Allegra and this guy because it'd be so funny. But like, they're talking and I just remember the moment Kevin James reaches over and goes, this tie, this whole thing is just really working. And like straightens the guy's tie and walks off to get drinks. And Maggie just turns to Allegra and goes, are we sure he's straight? Or is he gay? And she's like, I don't think so. She's like, no, I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yeah.
But she's grinning. He goes, I like him. And you're, as the audience, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Got the best friend's approval. But yeah, so the date goes well. We also have intercut with this date, the best dance scene in movie history that you talked about already once. But like, so you talk about that, like doing the Q-tip and stuff. My mama, I'm not joking with you, already did most of those moves. Like to this day, she'll go doing the Q-tip and and doing the pizza dough. She does all of those at the house. Like, it is hysterical. It's her favorite scene in this movie.
I think the thing that makes it even funnier is just the fact that, like, Will Smith is standing there just absolutely, like, completely, like, stone cold, just completely, like, deadpan.
So, when I was home for Christmas, back in December, this movie came on TV and we had it playing in the background. And it gets to that scene, which is the whole reason my sister had it on, by the way.
Yeah.
We watched that scene and then Kimberly turned it off because that's the best part of the movie. But weirdly, the TV cut out Maggie.
Oh, no.
Like, the whole Maggie scene is excised.
There's no best friend at all. That's a travesty.
But so we see the moves, and then you get Will going, you live right here. You just stay.
It's like
Hitch is telling elbows in,
six inches from your waist.
And so we see this intercut with him and Allegra.
Yeah.
And he looks so miserable because he wants to dance and express himself.
Yeah.
And then, the paparazzi start taking photos, and she turns her back. He, like, will break it down and just go.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so fun. And then, so that they walk out, they have a great night, yada, yada, yada. And then she asks him as they're leaving, do you like the Knicks when they're good?
Yeah.
So they're going to go to a basketball game together. But yeah, that whole scene is comedy gold. Mm-hmm. Like, from the moment he's meeting her out the door of the club, because we get an intercut with Hitch giving him advice.
Yeah.
So from that moment until they walk out of the club, it is brilliant.
It's so funny.
So they're playing, And Will is like, you live right here. And he goes, I don't want to see one of these. And he does like the spin move. And Albert's just like, no, that's what I need to be learning. Tell me, teach me. Oh, and then he does like the, he does like his own version of the move. And then you just get Will Smith like just lightly slapping him on both sides. And she's going to get out, which is my sister's other favorite part in that whole scene. Because she'll just like, get out.
Yeah, just the light slap across the face. It's like, so get out. Funny.
And yeah, so then.
Which, yeah, after the event, the next thing we see is Sarah has gotten scooped on Allegra gossip.
Yep.
And
that she was, and like the magazine has, you know, who is Albert Brenneman? And she's like, I don't know. So she starts investigating because she knows the person who was throwing the fashion show.
Yep.
And finds out that Alex Hitchens' name was down to the tickets. Those
tickets, yeah.
And so she's like, what? I'm going to be calling this guy. Meanwhile,
crazy random happenstance.
Meanwhile, you have kiss training with Albert, either one, which is just the 90 and 10. And it's really fun. It's another, every scene with Will Smith and Kevin James shines in this movie.
Yes. Like,
every scene they're in together is great. I think that's my thing. Like why, not that I don't like Sarah Milas, but I think she's just, like, I would rather watch just the whole movie of the two of them. like getting him, like, training Albert to get the girl. Because it's just so funny.
It's like, they split, like, they share the load of, like, switching back and forth between being the straight man and the chaos.
Yeah.
You know.
It's, and they're just so, it's sparkle.
Yes.
In such a big way. I love it. But anyway, so, yeah, we get the 90-10 kiss scene. Where he tells Albert, you go 90, she goes 10. Don't go the whole 100, Albert.
Which I would point out, when we finally have the moment, like, with Hitch and Sarah later, yeah, he's the one who went 90.
Yeah, I noticed.
Like, yeah. I mean, she
went 90.
No, like, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
she went 90,
like,
he went 10.
Like, it was reversed. Yes. I was like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, the 90-10, like, he's like, I do love the moment he looks at me and goes, think about it this way, Albert. This time tomorrow, Allegra Cole could be having her last first kiss. And Albert pulls out his
inhaler.
Because, like, that's just that he had not considered it that way. So yeah, you have that.
It's like, now there's even more pressure.
Yeah. And so then you have Sarah calls Hitch and asks him to meet her at the fish market if he wants a shirt back. And she shows up and it's a cooking class that her boss and his wife are at. That's a heck of a second date. But they're doing it, like, she calls and invites him, like, the boss is standing behind her as she does it.
Yes.
Because they want to.
The boss's name, Adam Arkin, I don't know his actual character's
Max,
name. Max?
I think it's Max.
Yeah, I could not remember. I didn't get it down.
I just read the boss most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's the one. But he specifically says to Sarah as she's getting ready to make the call, he's like, are you sure you want to do this? And she's like, well, yeah, of course. He's like, okay. He's like, is this a source or is this boyfriend material?
It's a date, yeah.
Like, is this a date? And she's like, well, oh no, it's just a source. I mean, obviously it's just a source.
Sounds like a date.
Yeah.
It's supposed to.
Yeah.
So yeah, and so they're there cooking, and he and his, like, they're sharing a station, the Hitch and Sarah, and I think it's Max and his wife, and they're cooking, and Sarah's a psychiatrist, and he goes, okay, I'm not talking again the rest of the night. Sarah's, Max's wife is a psychiatrist, so Hitch is just like,
and that's the last thing I'm going to say for the rest of the evening.
And he's just so charming, like, he's charming them, but the boss is like, we need the dirt. So he's like, who did you say you met at that party, Sarah?
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't meet anyone. And so then he starts to, like, be the dad. And she goes, okay. I met Albert Brenneman and Allegra, your friends. I don't know what you're talking about. Because he, you know, you can't out his client like that.
Yeah.
And so she's like, you know, it was your tickets or whatever. And he's like, oh, well, does anyone really know their accountant? Like, he just plays it off like Albert's his accountant. And the wife is immediately impressed with him because she's like, nobody. When they're around these two, people start throwing names. Like, the fact that you're not willing to drop names is a really big plus.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of, like, you know, gives a little thing. And about that time, Sarah feeds him a piece of,
oh my God,
food.
I can't remember what it was now.
And it turns out Alex is allergic to it. And the next thing you see, his ear is like swollen. For the record, if this happens to you, go to a hospital. Don't go get a bottle of Benadryl.
Don't go to a drugstore and get Benadryl. Like, if this happens, I'm like, this is an EpiPen situation, like, my dude.
His face is swelling up. Now, it doesn't impede his
It doesn't. Well, like, the
it
way.
It impedes his breathing a little, but it's not.
The way that he's kind of, like, coughing a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm seriously though. I'm like,
but yeah, his face puffs up, and so Sarah takes him to a drugstore to get all the Benadryl, and I mean all the Benadryl. He's got a straw in a thing of liquid Benadryl, and I'm like, that's not healthy.
Oh my God.
So just PSA, if this happens to you, go to a hospital.
Yeah,
like, where they can actually take care of you.
Like, yeah.
But he's Benadryl drunk, and
I love he's just like rambling on, and finally she just like takes the Benadryl from him and is like, okay, that's enough of the juice box.
Well, because he also says, you would tell me anything in this state, wouldn't you? And he goes, I'm a vault.
Yeah.
Like, kind of slurring his words a little bit. And she's like, sure. So, and she says something about Allegra and Albert, like, where are they at or something like that. And he goes, they're at the Knicks game, or they're going to the Knicks game or something like that. That's all he says. And she's like, okay, yeah. Vault, Fort Knox there. Takes him in, and then she puts him to bed at her house on the couch.
On the couch, yeah.
And they have, he's sobering up now, and he's really tired, obviously, as you would see.
All that fucking Benadryl.
Plus an allergy attack will do that to you anyway. So they're talking a little, and they have this bonding moment. You find out they both have siblings.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we find out that the guy he was playing pool with is his brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she tells the story of her sibling almost drowning when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the line of talking about how it's amazing how your world will fall apart when you're just standing there in the rain, something to that effect. And she goes, well, it was snow.
He's like, yeah, snow. That's what I said.
Some type of precipitation. And then he kind of falls asleep.
I have to say, the way that he plays this scene, like, he literally, like, it's, you fully believe, like, he is about to just fall asleep any second, which, like, that is hard to act.
Yeah.
Like, that, I was so impressed rewatching this. Like, it was such a tiny little thing, but I was like,
Smith is a very impressive actor. Yeah. Like, he doesn't get a lot of credit for as impressive as he is anymore. Because he's made some weird choices, I think, is part of it with movies.
Yeah.
But he's so good. Like even when he's in a bad movie, even when he's in Wild Wild West, he's funny. Or, you know, he's in I Am Legend, and he's good. He's good in everything he's in.
But the movies aren't always good, but he is.
Yeah, like, I didn't see Gemini Man still.
Yeah, it's like once he won, you know, like, once Ali...
Yeah.
What, you know, like, took over, and, like, there was all the Oscar buzz for it. It was, like, after that, everybody's like, okay, well, you've peaked. No more,
yeah. And he's amazing.
But, yeah, it's...
But he's also, you know, taking time to raise his family and all that,
like,
kind of stuff.
Like, okay, he and Jada Pinkett, like, and their children, I'm like, they're, like, fucking power family, man.
Yeah.
Like, they are the greatest.
Anyway, so... Oh, that's what he says when he talks about the precipitation, your life changing, because moments define you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, like, as he's half asleep, but it's such an important moment, because for him, that is what has happened. Like, that moment in the rain has defined him ever since it happened. His goal is to prevent anyone else from having to feel that type of pain.
I remember, it's something that I think about sometimes, like, when I'm thinking specifically about, like, characters or whatever. I remember, I don't know if you were in this class with me, but it was our writing professor. Did you and I take fiction together?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I also took nonfiction with her at some point too. I couldn't remember.
Me too.
It was in one of the classes.
I took nonfiction, but one was after you were gone.
Yeah, yeah. Because I took fiction before nonfiction before I really knew you. So
yeah.
But. I remember her making the point. She's like every author, she's like, and sometimes like it bleeds into the work. It's like, and you can tell, like, every author has a defining moment. Like, they, everybody has like a scar. They have a wound on, like, the timeline of their life. It goes. And so everything becomes pre that point and post that point. And so, you know, for me, a lot of that comes back to my dad dying when I was in college. And so, like, it is like the defining moment of my life. Like that's when like everything in my life changed. Mm-hmm. And so for Hitch, that is his moment of like, yeah, everything is pre, you know, Cressida in the rain and like, yeah, post Cressida. And so it's visceral in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why, like, that was literally like something.
I really liked that whole scene.
Yeah, oh, I do too. But for some reason, like I said, that whole quote from, or like that whole like thing from our professor, like that came up while I was watching this. And I was like, wow, I had completely forgot about that conversation in class.
So the next morning, not Eva Mendes, Sarah wakes up and Hitch is gone. And I love that moment. She rolls over and just starts yelling into her pillow.
She's like, oh, you're such an idiot.
How you knew this was going to happen. And then Hitch walks in. He went and got breakfast.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure what she drank. So he brought a collection of different drinks.
He brought four different coffees.
It was tea.
I just meant coffee. Like, yeah, like he went to like a Starbucks.
Yeah. He got like four different drinks.
There was like a chai, a hot tea, like, and then like, yeah, a latte and, or like a frappuccino.
Something like that. Yeah. But yeah. So he went and got breakfast. They go their separate ways cause she has to go to work. And as you said before, she goes 90 and he goes 10.
Yeah.
And which is important for a character like that, that has his, mm-hmm, walls up. It's important that she's the one to make that move. Mm-hmm. And Hitch kind of knows that.
Yeah.
Just on a subconscious level, even. So they kiss several times, mm-hmm, and then go their separate ways. She is happy as a lark. Yep. It is a good day. Everything is beautiful. Birds are chirping. And then Casey comes in.
Yeah.
And we find out that Vance and she went out. He slept with her. He couldn't get out fast enough. And he said, "Date doctor my ass," as he walked out of the thing. So they assume this means that he used the date doctor,
yeah,
to get her into bed.
Yeah.
Rather than what the truth is. So Sarah goes and confronts Vance, gets the card, knees him in the groin. He gets what he deserves, and we're all happy on that, mm-hmm, front. Also, meanwhile, Vance continues to let her believe that Hitch helped him get the date.
Yeah.
And then we have the Knicks game where Albert teaches Allegra how to whistle and then drops mustard on himself and she helps clean him up. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a good, yeah, thing. And even Sarah is,
yeah,
watching.
Like Sarah, yeah. Yeah. Sarah and her like staff photographer, like they're at the game and like getting pictures and everything. And Sarah is just repeatedly saying to her photographer, like, look at them. They're so cute.
They look so happy. Like, yeah, she's never looked so happy before.
Yeah.
And so they have that whole thing that he takes her back to her apartment and she's fumbling with her keys, which is what Hitch, mm-hmm, that moment Hitch going, "I'm fumbling, Albert."
Yeah. Like I'm fiddling with my keys.
Cracked me up. But yeah. So she's fiddling with her keys and Albert starts to lean and just can't do it and turns and walks, mm-hmm, away. And it says goodnight and she starts to open her door and he stops, pulls out his inhaler, goes, "No," throws his inhaler and walks over and kisses her. Like leans in. He only leans in like 80 probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But she kind of smiles and leans in and kisses him. And she tells him she likes his lips. And he goes, "They like you too."
Yeah.
And they kiss. And then she goes into her apartment and he goes skedaddling, uh-huh, down the street with like a little hop skip. In his walk.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Some full disclosure here. When was watching this movie, I was like, oh, the Philly with the key. I'm like, that's just so ridiculous. Whatever. Like when it's Hitch and him.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. That's just so dumb. And then once it got actually to Albert and Allegra, I just went and was like, oh fuck, I did this. Like there's so many I was dating somebody a couple of summers ago and they walked me to my door and I literally remember like I was standing at my door fiddling with my keys and then they kissed me and I was like, I feel very seen right now.
See, I can't say that I did that because I only had like two keys on my keychain in college. Right. And other than that, I've been married to the same guy. But there was no fiddling with the keys. There was, let's go for another walk around the school before we go to bed.
Like that's what you did at our college. It's like everybody went on walks together.
Or you hesitated at the door. Like, yeah, that was the big, but
seriously.
Yeah.
Like at our college, if two people of the opposite gender were seen, like, walking together, like, everybody just assumed you were dating.
It's true. I'm not.
Yeah.
People that I was dating, my, at the time, best friend's boyfriend. Well, they weren't dating yet, but yeah.
Well, I honestly, I had like...
Because we watched a movie together.
I had three separate people because, one, we had classes in the same building, and also we were just good friends and we had a lot of really deep heart-to-heart conversations. Jared and I would just like walk around campus and like, and stuff, and like we, like from the CAF to, you know, to our class building or whatever. And I literally had three different people, like three separate occasions. Somebody asked me, it's like, so how long have you and Jared been dating? And like, I'm just like laughing in their faces. I'm like, no.
Well, no. People thought Zach and I were, my friend Zach and I, because we watched a movie in a lounge together. But anyway, so back to this. So he, like so they have the kiss.
Then
the setup happens.
Yeah, I have it down as date Dr. Sting.
Yeah, and then Jeff trying to be straight for 2 seconds is barely working. But Hitch clues in real quick because like the way Jeff talks.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looks around and he goes, nice meeting you, and he walks off. And like there was never any like, if she hadn't known who he was, there wouldn't have been a story.
Yeah.
But because Sarah knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, her editor asked her, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you know, take the man his shirt and make sure this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
And she shows up at his apartment where he's cooking for her.
She's being such a weirdo. I'm like I don't.
She won't actually just confront him. She wants him to tell her in a weird way. So she's just mad about it. Because she thinks, from her perspective, she thinks that this is the guy that broke her friend's heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, that what he does for a living is get guys into girls' pants. And that's not really what he does. So she's livid. And he has no, like, he is so confused at first. Like, he has no idea what the hell is going on.
Everything that she's doing makes no goddamn sense. It really doesn't. And then
finally, she clues him in a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's like, is this about your stupid newspaper, essentially? Like, are you mad that I don't tell you things about my client? Like, that's not something I can do. And then they get into a food fight, which is hysterical.
Yeah.
That moment he says, let me go get a cleaver. Like, she don't want a cleaver butcher. And then, and then he kind of like, too far. But she's so mad at that point, it doesn't matter. That man could have done anything, and it wouldn't have mattered what he did in that moment. No. She believes all men are scum, and she's not going to give him a chance.
She, in some way, is like, it's not so much presented to us like visually, but you kind of get the feeling is that she, like, as soon as she had her conversation with Casey, that she basically now has, like, she's getting ready to have like 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
Like, because she's like, she was happy and then the bubble burst and it's like, oh, this is reality.
She still had a little bit of that happy step, but the moment she found out he was a date doctor, it was over.
Yeah.
Like, she tells her boss, I liked him.
Yeah.
Not I like him.
Yeah.
So yeah. And so she leaves, storms out, and the next day, can this guy get you into bed with Allegra Cole?
Yeah.
And it comes out, it's the pictures of Allegra and Albert at the basketball game, and it's the pictures and his picture of Hitch, and it basically says what he does.
Mm-hmm.
I do love the moment where he goes to see her apartment and she doesn't answer, and this woman walks over, do you know him? And he's like, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. See you later, Tony. Yeah. And he's on his phone distracted.
Yeah.
And she's like, funny. Like, it's such a funny moment, but
I looked up in the credits because that woman looked familiar to me for some reason.
Yeah.
And she's just has one of those faces, I guess. But like, I love that they're listed in the credits as gorgeous wife and nebbish husband. It made me laugh a lot.
So now that the secret is out, Hitch confronts Sarah at a speed dating event, which, that she promised Casey she would join her.
Did you notice Joe Litriglio?
I thought Boyle. I was going to say that. I was like, Boyle! Because this is Boyle undercover because
I had my head down taking notes and I heard his voice and I nearly broke my neck with how fast my head snapped up.
I'm just gonna say the way he was talking about wine, this was Boyle.
This absolutely.
This is like pre-Boyle, like pre Brooklyn Nine-Nine Boyle. Like this is before he had his best friend there to tell him you need to cut that crap off your head.
Oh my god, like, the hair was so terrible.
But yeah, that part is hysterical. And then Hitch, like I said, he comes and sits down and talks to Sarah.
Yeah.
And they get into it because, understandably, on both sides, because there's this miscommunication. And finally, it comes out in the fight. Like, he's sitting across from Casey at that point. Yeah. And it comes out that she thought, because of Vance. And he's like, no, 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 no. Like, he's mad. And so he's yelling. But then he says, I would never work with that guy. I refuse to work with him.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, essentially. And storms out. And I love Sarah's like, who would believe that? And Casey's like, I believe him. Like, everything that he just said, it sounds legit. Like, he's not.
Yeah, I didn't take many notes during this part, but like the one thing that I got down is like Sarah just yelling, you know, like this accusatory tone, just like yelling at him, like, you trick women. And he interrupts and says, into getting out of their own way so that great guys like Albert have a fighting chance.
Yeah, because he is firmly on the side of Albert Brenneman is the best man to ever live.
Yeah.
Like, he is the nicest guy you will ever meet. And he's pretty much right. Like, Albert's amazing.
Everything that we see, Albert's a pretty standard guy.
And so then... The next day, he's jogging. We think it's the next day.
After that, it's like we have what I referred to as the sadness montage.
Yeah, we have a bunch of, that's true. We have a sadness montage of a bunch of people. And then eventually Hitch is jogging and Sarah is at his door to apologize because she did print stuff out of context. And
I made assumptions about you based on nothing.
Yeah, and based on her own prejudices, basically. And so she apologizes and he basically says,
he gives her the brush off.
Once again, Will Smith, great actor. He turns to her and he's like, she's like, I'm sorry I hurt you. And he goes, you didn't hurt me. You couldn't hurt me.
Yeah.
But the look in his face is heartbreak. But he's like, you couldn't hurt me. I only get involved up to a certain point. And that point was about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And he walks back into his apartment. And she knows that it's not all real, but she's also like, okay,
fine. There's some bluster to it.
And so she walks away. And then we get,
oh my god, Albert walking in with the Krispy Kreme box.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So they have this great conversation, and Albert tells him, go ahead.
I was saying, when Albert walks in with the Krispy Kreme box, Hitch is basically just like, really? And I don't think he says that, but it's just kind of implied, and Albert just kind of gestures to the box, and he's like, well, I figured if my heart stops beating, it won't hurt so much.
And they have this conversation, and Hitch is packing up his office, like, he's packing up all the wedding invitations that he's gotten over the years and stuff, and then he walks kind of out to his main living room, and they're talking the whole way, and Albert talks about how bad he feels, and he says, I've waited my whole life to feel this miserable.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that this is the thing, like, the fact that he now has the depth of love to feel this miserable is something he's proud of. And Hitch is like, no one should ever feel like this. No one should ever feel like this again, Albert. You can build you up, and you will never feel this again. Like, he's going
this whole thing. Yeah, he tells him, he's like, you can change, adapt, make it so you never hurt this much ever again.
And Albert's face kind of falls, and he's like, you don't buy your own.
Yeah, you don't buy what you're selling.
Yeah, you sell it, but you don't buy it. And he's like, but my whole business is, or my life is love. No, your business is love. And he says, I always thought I was the coward, and walks out. And he's going after Allegra.
Yeah.
And we watch him get into a cab as Allegra's car pulls away, and he runs. Allegra, taxi. Moment. Allegra.
It's just like both of them getting farther and farther away.
So we see Hitch taking off as well. And then Albert chasing or getting to the taxi. And then it flashes to Allegra getting on her boat.
Yeah.
And
Hitch
there's
there on the yacht.
There's Hitch sitting there, and he goes, thank you for seeing me. And he starts telling her, you know, this, I'm sorry that this happened, essentially, but like, Albert genuinely cares about you. It's not what you think. And she goes, you really did your research. And
yeah.
And brings up, you know, the fact that I was made fun of in school because I couldn't whistle. And the fact that I'm a bad dancer. And the fact that you told him to spill mustard on his shirt.
So I'd feel less awkward. No, that I'd feel like less of a dork.
Yeah, less of a dork. And he goes, No. None of that was me. No. And she's like,
he did that.
She's like, did you give him the inhaler too? And he goes, he did not show you that inhaler just before he kissed me. And he goes, oh, that is all Albert. That is Albert all over it.
Yeah.
And she's like, none of that was you.
She's like, so what did you do?
And it just clicks. He goes, I didn't actually do anything.
Like nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And they're hugging. And about that time, you hear Albert scream and tackle Alex onto the boat, choking the life out of him. You were my brother. You're like my brother. It is my favorite moment between them.
So good.
Like, he's just like bouncing Alex Hitchens' head off the seat, going, you were like a brother to me. And
Albert.
And then you have Allegra going, no, he came here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
like you have the choked hitch, like, yeah, that's what I thought.
There's some comedic gold in this movie. There really is.
He sees, like, the two of them, like, happy, and he goes, I got somewhere I gotta be.
Yeah.
And goes and gives the, like, love speech to Sarah, tries to, and fails miserably.
He's just stammering.
He can't get the words, yeah.
He cannot form a coherent thought.
He needs a hitch.
And he's like, can we just close the door? And so, like, tries to have this conversation, like with him on opposite sides of, you know, of her door. And
it still doesn't.
It's better. It's still not great.
He goes, I'm just ready to be miserable.
I want to be miserable. Like, if that's what it takes to be happy.
And then the door opens again, and there's a guy walking out holding a bag, carrying it down to his car, and Hitch has this moment of, like, defeat, but then he's like, no, I won't be defeated by this.
Yeah.
And he continues to, like, climb on top of the car.
I've got some of this. You know, she says, basically, it's like, you know, like, I think you were right. Like, we'll just go our separate ways and we'll be just fine. Like, but what if fine isn't good enough? What if I want extraordinary? There's no such thing. And then this is when he jumps on the car.
Yeah.
And she's like, why? And he rolls off in front of the car.
Because she's driving and, like, stops it when he jumps on. And
yeah. And, like, he just goes, like, flying off the front of the car. And, like, she's just like, what are you doing? And he's like that's what people do. He's like, this is what people do. Like, they leap and they hope to God that they can fly, because otherwise we just drop like a rock, wondering the whole way down, why in the hell did I jump? He's like, but here I am, Sarah, falling, and there's only one person who makes me feel like I can fly, and that's you. It's a damn good speech.
Oh, it's a great speech. Yeah. And then her sister comes out, and you realize this guy is Tom, her
brother-in-law.
And so, haha, yeah, he goes, oh, your brother. And he says he loves her, and they kiss.
They kiss.
And then it just switches to the wedding.
It goes straight into the wedding dancing.
Yeah, which Allegra, like, and Albert have the best wedding.
This, like, to me, the movie is worth watching just to get to this, like,
the end sequence.
Yeah, to get to the end sequence of the wedding dancing.
At the wedding, you have Allegra and Albert dancing, and Hitch and Sarah, and then you have Casey sitting over in the corner, kind of by herself, and this nice old lady comes up, starts talking to her, and then starts choking on a grape. So Casey saves her, and her handsome grandson, you know, that's over there, mm-hmm. takes this girl out on the floor and dance with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns, as the couple walks away, the old lady turns, and winks at Hitch, and he kind of gives her the nod.
He gives her a grin. Like, I just want to know, I'm like, was this just, like, him, like, doing her a solid?
Yes.
Or?
Like, the grandma wanted somebody sweet for her grandson.
Oh, man.
And he wanted to do a solid for his best friend's girl. Yeah. Or his girl's best friend.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, and then we have the wedding dancing, line of dance.
But, good Lord, the dancing is just the best.
Oh, yeah, it's so funny.
The dancing makes me so happy.
Because you have the different pairs pairing off, all the girls.
Hitch and Albert.
Hitch and Albert's my favorite part. It's the last one. And it's like Albert slides underneath Hitch's legs, and they frog. It's so funny.
Yeah.
You can find just that clip on YouTube, I'm sure. It's funny. It's worth
it. But that's literally like where the movie ends. It just goes into credits. But, I really enjoyed it.
It's fun.
Like, there were definitely things that I kind of bristled at a couple of times. And, I definitely do want a remake of, not so a remake, like reboot, whatever. I want this set up. I want it for the gays. I want it for everybody. And give me the lesbian with the non-binary person. I want it all. I want all of the people to be happy. not just the straights.
But I think for me overall, I think the problem I have with this movie is that I think the Sarah romance is just not, I don't know, I just don't enjoy it as much. Like, it's weird. Like, it takes second place to the bromance that's going on in the foreground.
Which, and I agree with that.
I think that's my thing with it. Yeah. I find her very, flat.
Honestly,
he is amazing. His speeches and the love speeches are great. And she has a couple of really good scenes.
I thoroughly enjoyed her. I'm like, it's Allegra that is completely flat
for me. But she doesn't get a lot of chance to, at least
she does.
At least Casey and Sarah have multiple scenes together. She has one scene with another friend and that's it.
Yeah.
So I mean, she doesn't get a lot, but I don't know. There's just something about it that for me, her side of the romance feels very flat. And we get a lot of stuff. I don't know why. It just does.
Because it's for what, there isn't a lot of depth to the stuff that we're getting from her. Everything that we get of her, it's one note scenarios. It's her choosing her job over the, over a potential relationship. And so it becomes repetitive. And with him, we're seeing all kinds of fun stuff.
With her,
not so much.
Yeah,
and so
that's what it is.
I think that's a fault of the writing. But it is also a character flaw.
But the fact that the writer has only written this one movie, really, kind of explains some of that. It explains why I think the female characters are not very well-rounded. Mm. And
it's, to some extent, this isn't... It's not like with 2 weeks notice or some of the other movies we've talked about where they sacrifice the romance for the comedic moment.
Yeah, no.
I think this movie, it just doesn't, for the fact that it is literally about bringing people together and it is a matchmaking kind of movie.
Yeah.
I think that it tilts that the comedy moments and the romance moments aren't necessarily balanced.
Mm-hmm.
They don't it shifts a little heavier, the scale weighs a little heavier on the comedy side. But how could it not when your two main stars are Will Smith and Kevin James?
I think without Will Smith and Kevin James in the movie, it would have been utterly forgettable. I think it would have been okay. It wouldn't have been anything special.
But
having Will bring his charm to it and having Kevin bring his humor to it, it really brings something
to
up.
The movie doesn't work without both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
You need Hitch setting up the relationship with Albert and Allegra but it also it doesn't. There's no impact. There's nothing. There's no conflict mm-hmm. to break up Albert and Allegra without Sarah.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of delicate balance. But like I said, it just kind of shifts a little heavier to the men's side of the story.
Yeah. And then to be fair, in 2005, that was pretty rare to have it be more the man's side.
Like we've talked about, Fools Rush In was the first movie that we did where it was actually from the man's point of view. like,
but you felt the woman's perspective all the way through.
Woman's perspective all the way through, but at the end of the day, like, it, yeah, like, that movie is, it is Alex Whitman's story.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with this, like you said, it, there's a little bit more of a balance of, I mean, this movie, it is Hitch and Albert's movie.
Yeah.
And Sarah and Allegra, like, they aren't, like, just accessories, but they don't have nearly as much to do as the men do.
That's fair. Yeah.
But, you know, as we said, like, it's kind of rare for you know, a, like, a rom-com.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is...
And I think part of that, like you talked about Fools Rush In, this guy directed that. He directed...
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's also an interesting thing to look at. Like, this director mm-hmm. was able to bring that to what might have not mm-hmm. been the greatest
script. Well, and, good Lord, and Fools Rush In was almost... Not quite. It was about, like, 9 years before Hitch.
Yeah.
So, like, for them to have that similar kind of...
Yeah.
You know... similar kind of detail to them, so I find that interesting. So, do you think the couple stay together?
Allegra and Albert, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Hitch, and probably.
I think.
It depends on what job he gets, because boy's got to get a job now. So, it really depends on his job.
I think they make it work.
Yeah.
Like, both couples.
Well, I mean, I'm just like, what is he going to do now? Like, that's what... Like, he can do matchmaking and stuff still.
I was like, he can match... I was like, but literally, it's like, the man... Like, he knows how to sell a brand.
That's true. He, like, could actually be in marketing.
Like, he could do some marketing stuff. He really could.
He really could.
Like, any kind of, like, public relations nonsense. Like, the man is golden.
Yeah, true.
So, what do you rate this movie?
I'm gonna give it a 3. Like, I think it's a pretty solid...
Yeah, movie. I think it's a solid 3.
Yeah.
I thought about 3.5, but...
For me, it's a 3, but I think you enjoyed it more than I did. Like, I liked it, and I also just watched part of it, and I think that's another thing, is I hadn't watched... I watched part of it just...
You watched part of it at Christmas, yeah.
And so it's like, that part stuck with me, and I was like, eh.
Yeah,
because of that.
It's more that... It's not that I enjoyed it more. It's that I was expecting it to be... a whole lot more problematic than it is.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was kind of pleasantly surprised that it wasn't. But I think 3.5 is a little too generous, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of feeling that at the moment. But I'm just going to go with a
solid 3.
Solid 3.
It's a good movie. Like, if you haven't seen it, I say see it. It's just not, it's not one that I like, mean, own.
Yeah.
Like that. But yeah,
it's a fun,
yeah,
it's fun times. So anyway, do you have anything else to add, Dolly?
Nope.
All right. I have nothing else to add either. So that will get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. As always, we thank you so very much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.